This is RSVNB Update, episode 620, recorded Thursday, May 25th, 2017, RuneScape 2020. Hello, everybody, and welcome to RSBNB Update. Tanis and I are here this week on this quiet RuneScape week as we get ready for Menaphos and relax a bit after Double XP weekend.
Yes.
Do you need to relax after Double XP weekend?
I did. I definitely have that XP hangover, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't do too much. It's Herb Lore, and honestly, I should be doing more, but we'll talk about that later. But this week, we just got Patch Week in RuneScape and a couple of little nifty promotions that are getting us ready for Menaphos when that arrives in 2 weeks' time, less than 2 weeks' time now. So you guys are listening to this. Was there anything from the patch notes that caught your eye this week?
You know, they're very little. There's a few things that I thought, why? as I'm looking through, I don't see anything that like stands out. It's like, wow. Like, yeah. I thought we got some better, I mean, some of this stuff I'm looking, I'm going, I didn't know that wasn't fixed. Like, did you know you could get assignments from Simona while you're underleveled? Like, huh?
Nope.
I didn't even know that.
Nope.
Glad you fixed it, but I didn't know. You know, and like buffing the Zaro sword, that's good, but I'll never be able to buy one of those things.
Right.
So, well, you know.
Some of the items on the list include broken sigils from Shattered Worlds are now always kept on death. That's interesting considering that, you know, you spend so much time in Shattered Worlds for one of these sigils, and it would be really painful to lose that if you died. So I'm glad that change has been made. Also, Bladed Dive from Shattered Worlds can no longer be used while bound by various boss attacks. So obviously someone found out that was a bit of a loophole right there, and it wasn't being checked if you were bound before you used Bladed Dive. So that's good. You got to keep PVM balanced. As you mentioned, Simona can no longer give Slayer assignments to underleveled players. So obviously, I believe Simona is the Slayer master for around level 60 Slayer. I think so, if that sounds about right.
It's after smoking kills, so she's what opens up the points, right?
Right, that's right.
Slayer points, yeah.
So, I mean, okay, that would have been very interesting to see what kind of tasks were given and what that would do for XP. But, or I guess you wouldn't be able to kill them because each of the Slayer monsters has a individual XP target or individual level target on it. So,
yeah, so I don't really, I don't get what the exploit was, but yeah.
It's now possible to compost the Trollheim patch when it has something growing in it. You guys will remember a couple months back they made it so you can put compost on any patch before or after it's been planted in, kind of a little accessibility thing there for farming. Unfortunately, that wasn't possible with Trollheim because, of course, Trollheim is a special herb patch. Players can now teleport to the Grand Exchange or Miscellanea with the Luck of the Dwarves ring. Okay, I think that's good. You know, you spend this much, 35 million GP on the Onyx or whatever it's at now, and then you get this ring and it's basically a luck ring. Sure, it's good to add some extra little powers to it. Grand Exchange and Miscellanea is good because obviously Grand Exchange and Prif faster than the Lodestone and easier access, so that's great. And Miscellanea for when you want to go manage your kingdom, which I think not enough people do at the higher levels of gameplay, which is probably why they put that in. Because do you still go there?
Do I? Well, yeah. I mean, you know, I take pride in being a slumlord. You know, I check in every once in a while. But no, this was actually probably one of the best patch notes, I thought.
This week.
Yeah. Like one, yeah. Because, you know, this had the Ring of Wealth has those teleports on it. And so this being, you know, an upgraded luck ring, it's only natural that it should have it. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, exactly.
All right. Zoro's God Sword special attack has been buffed. Melee attacks performed while standing inside the black hole now do 25% additional damage, up from 10%. And that is huge when you look at the Zoro's God Sword. I mean, that God Sword was already a great enough weapon, and this just is the icing on the cake at the end here. Zoro's God Sword currently going for 1 billion GP on the Grand Exchange, if you follow that price. So... Definitely adding value to that 1 billion GP price tag, though. I mean, I don't think you or I are ever going to afford these.
No, I know that I'm not. And these are, I mean, that is for, you know, there's two kinds of people. That's for one, it's the people that have more money than sense and can just buy anything they want. But the other is that special little select group of PBMers that just have to have the absolute best in every situation.
Yeah. So. And of course this comes from Telos, which I mean isn't exactly the easiest boss to do in RS. So
no. Those are rare. There's not a lot of them out there.
Mm-hmm. Following from that, the Berserker, Maniacal, and Reckless auras, 15% additional damage taken, can no longer be avoided. So I wonder how people were avoiding this damage.
You know, I wondered the same thing when I saw that. I was like, how are they getting away, you know, with that anyway?
Yeah. I mean, maybe some kind of passive heal that was being used. But beyond that, I don't know. Like, it says it reduces your defense by 15%. So I'm guessing what people could probably just do is increase their defense by 15%, maybe with potions or some other specific item, and then that would totally negate the damage taken when you think of it from a math perspective. So I'm guessing what Jagex did here with this is they made it so that the damage taken from this will be 15% damage given to you rather than reducing your defense by 15% and allowing you to offset that. So... that's a fair compromise to ask for when you're increasing your attack and strength by 10%. So, and
I think that's fair
at the end of the day. Yeah, it's just like the Berserk combat ability.
And it makes sense, you know, because you have to have some kind of a balance with these different roles. You know, I mean, there should be a little bit more risk if you're playing a DPS type of role. I mean, so I think it's fair.
Now here's the head scratcher of the week. Attempting to withdraw from an inactive rune pouch no longer causes a disconnect.
How does this happen, Shay? Like, how do these things? Like, I don't even understand how it works.
It depends it depends on how error handling is written up in the client. And from my perspective of looking at what we've known all these years about RuneScape is that anytime there's an item that has an incomplete job associated with it, an incomplete task or an incomplete function, and it just basically does nothing at the end of it, that has been known to cause a disconnect. So it seems like there probably wasn't something wired up, the correct action to be taken when you attempt to withdraw from this inactive rune pouch. And the correct action would, of course, be that you can't withdraw from an inactive rune pouch. And it would have just displayed that on the screen. Whereas this, it probably just really confused the client and caused the disconnect. That would be my guess.
Okay.
Detonate's buff icon will now attempt to display a percentage icon when it hits or gets near 100% so it can be more reliable. And of course, this isn't the first time Detonate has been adjusted. Detonate is, of course, the ability that you have to charge up and get close to your target with, and then you end up doing a good deal of kinetic damage around. So I think they really want more people to use Detonate, and hopefully this will be the change that encourages people to use it and makes it usable enough to make it something that can be thrown in the rotation. Because I know personally I've never seen the point in using that, because I mean, you are stuck in combat and you just have to take these hits for that long while you're charging up, and there's no guarantee that what you're going to be detonating on is going to actually be around you when it comes time to blow. So
yeah, I mean, Detonate is a, I It's actually a pretty decent ability, and if you can get it timed right, it can do some good damage. It's just that I don't use it either, because, I mean, even with this change, the chances of me hitting it at the right time, it's pretty slim, but it is a good ability if you get your timing right.
Yeah, and we'll have to see where that goes. And, I mean, with 120 Slayer coming next month, there's going to be a whole new crop of people trying these things who might have been away from it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And some changes from last week's visualize option on the world map. That is, of course, the filters and skyboxes. Environment overrides will no longer reset when teleporting to a lodestone. So once again, basically signaling to the population that if you want to use a certain sky, you can do that now and it won't be reset as you move through it. So I think you'll be happy about that. And I know lots of other people are too.
Thank you. Thank you, Jagex. Very good.
And
thank
here's
you.
Something for everyone who has taken part in God Wars 2. The Blood, Day, and Nightstone overrides are now available via Visualize if unlocked. So if you got those stones from God Wars Dungeon 2, you can activate them without needing to add the stones in your inventory anymore.
That's cool.
And the Shattered Worlds skybox has now been added to Visualize. You know, that's good because Shattered Worlds is a really visually appealing area. And, you know, you might as well let players have the choice of making RuneScape look as good as it can be.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, that's a great addition. And I hope we might be seeing more additions in the future. Like if, you know, as quests come out and new skyboxes are developed, maybe they'll be added. It's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think that's what we all hope for. And, you know, looking back, I think this is probably one of the best parts about Shattered Worlds is just how visually appealing it looked, considering the time investment that you need to put in to get any of the rewards from it.
So. Yes.
Anyways, and there are also now buttons for each skybox and filter menu to return to the previous menu, so you don't need to click the buttons as they were previously in a listed format. So it's a much easier way to thumb through all the options now. So that's great. And, you know, I love it when JX improves interfaces because back at when RS2 came out and through RuneScape HD and eventually with RuneScape 3, the RS interfaces finally started to make sense and finally started to be usable. So I'm very happy that Jagex is still maintaining this RS3 usability as we go forward.
You know I'm a fan.
Yeah. And what are you still using for your color schemes? Are you still inverted after last week or have you gone back to normal?
I messed around a lot with the grayscale. That's been something that has been pretty cool. I'm still experimenting, really, because it's so situational with right. what is, you know, helpful at what time, you know. So yeah, I'm still dabbling with everything, trying a lot of different stuff.
All right, yeah. Sounds good. Moving on this week, we got information for RuneFest tickets. So the RuneFest ticket pricing is now available. And if you purchase your tickets before July 3rd, you get the early bird rate of £99 for RuneFest only plus a modest booking fee. And the RuneFest and Night Before party in that case will set you back £125. But if you purchase after July 3rd, it'll cost you £120 for just RuneFest the day and £145 for RuneFest including the Night Before party. So tickets are now available, and of course, RuneFest is taking place in September this year. And I know a lot of people are happy that they announced it back in May rather than waiting until July to do that. So that's great on Jagex's part this year.
Yeah, the earlier the better. I mean, it's you have to have time to make your travel arrangements.
Oh yeah,
I mean,
especially going to the UK and whatnot. So, mm-hmm. Any change in plans for you on this?
I wish if I can hit the lottery before then, I'll be there with everybody If I hit the lottery, RSB&B's taking a trip to RuneFest. I'm telling you. But short of that, no, I'm just going to be sad and watch the live streams. Wish I was there.
Well, maybe you can join me this year for the 3-hour long RSB&B update where we talk about RuneFest.
You know, that would at least cheer me up a little bit since I won't be there.
Oh, don't sign up for that just yet. That's a test of endurance. It's a test of endurance for me, so it's a test of endurance for any podcast host.
I can imagine.
Anyway, so RuneFest tickets are now available, purchasable at runefest.com. But also this week, something a little bit surprising from Jagex. The Supernova and new Supreme stars.
Yeah. Why, Jagex? Why are you making me look like a fool after last week? Why? I don't know. You know, I usually don't get that worked up about this stuff, but it's poor timing. Come on, guys. Poor timing. You know?
So basically, these Supreme double stars are giving you double XP on your double XP. And if you normally get 40,000 bonus XP, you will now get 80,000 bonus XP. So this is a week after double XP weekend. And, you know, this is kind of going into my thoughts about why I don't put too much effort into double XP weekend. Because if I want my own double XP weekend, I can just bank up enough double XP in whatever skill that I want, and I can do it at any time that I want without a burden on my economy, because chances are it's better to train when double XP weekend isn't going on if you don't purchase smartly. And if you compare this with being combined with a double XP weekend, you would be getting 3x XP compared to 2x on a double XP weekend. So it's a question of, you know, is it convenience? Is it going to cost me less? And if those two things are more palatable, it just makes sense to me to do double XP training on a non-double XP weekend.
Well, and that makes, you know, perfect sense. And, you know, I think you're right. At the same time, I also think that there is something special about that time period. Like, I had a really good time on double XP. I enjoyed the week up. You know, I tried to prepare as much as I could, but, you know, plans changed. And I was trying to, you know, and I'm trying to prepare for two different accounts, you know, a low level and then, you know, mine. And so it's like I'm trying to juggle all this stuff. So, like, up until the last minute, even over double XP weekend, I am buying and selling. Yep. And, yeah. You know, and so there's some excitement with that. I think the only other justification I can give this is, okay, Jagex, if I'm going to take it this way, you know that we all have our own lives. We all have stuff going on. We all have work and kids and marriages and this and that. We're an older player base now. Not all of us can make a whole weekend XP bonanza. So you're giving it to us all the time whenever we want to do that, like you described, Shane. So, you know, in that regard, I'm cool. But
me too.
Boy, right after double XP just seemed like if you had waited just 1 week, just give us a week. Yeah. I still have a hangover. I'm doing quests to cleanse my palate, okay?
Well, I mean, from the phrasing on this, it sounds as though this is for newer accounts who want to still get ready for Menaphos, which, I mean, is understandable, I guess, if you are still grinding away at the ability to, you know, if you're one of those people who wants to get 120 Slayer before it comes out. But Menaphos requirements are not huge. A couple quests, 88 Slayer, 72 Fishing, 73 Hunter, and 50 Agility, Construction, Crafting, Divination, Dungeon, Nearing, Prayer, Rune Crafting, and Thieving. Which,
yeah,
it's really not that steep. But I guess at the end of the day, you know, you might as well take advantage of this if you got a newer account And that's the way I see this competition, or sorry, not competition, promotion, is that it's for newer accounts who want to gain that. But at the same time, personally, I see this as vindication in my idea that I don't need to, you know, play for 24 to 48 hours over double XP weekend, spread over 3 days, right?
Hey, that's, yeah, totally, totally fair point. You know? I mean, I had fun, you know, I was streaming and I had both of them going and it was fun, but, you don't have to. You completely don't have to, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, I'm sure there's those of you guys out there who listen to this and will say, oh, but you're wasting XP because you could be getting times three rather than times two. Yeah, well, that's true. But it's a question of when we're gearing up for a double XP weekend now, it just feels like because there's so much XP to be gained, there's so much preparation that has to be done. And it's kind of annoying. So,
well, and it kind of goes to what we were, you know, talking about last week with that. And it's an individual, you know, this is a social game, but it's individual kind of performance. So if you are happy with getting double XP just from bonus, then what's that to me? I don't care. I don't, you know, I still don't feel that you're watering down my game because it's really not that much compared to other games that I play or have played.
Yeah, I think you got a good point there. And at the end of the day, well, we'll talk about double XP games and whatnot later.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but I am enjoying this promotion for my Herblore. And one final competition before we move into our discussion topics of the week. Jagex has one going where you can win a gaming laptop. It's a Razer Blade gaming laptop, which is a pretty high-end PC when you think about it. So all you need to do is head on over to their Facebook page and enter your details for a chance to win. You don't even need a Facebook account in order to do that. So that's pretty great from Jagex's part that they're enabling people to enter without a Facebook account. I don't like that website, but you can get more entries if you like and win. So you can get an additional two entries if you get your friends to enter as well with this. So let's see. You just click skip if you don't want to do that. And then enter in your email address. You can do other things like follow them on Twitter and on Instagram and on RuneScape. You don't need to do that, though. You just enter your email address and your RuneScape name, click enter, and away you go. And that's all there is to entering this. Hopefully, if we win this, they will ship it to Canada. And if you win this, they will ship it to the U.S. because that's always something that comes up when dealing with Jagex and competitions is it open to the main countries, or is it just a UK-only competition, which is the case sometimes. So
yeah, and we really should know that ahead of time.
Yeah, I'm just skimming the terms and conditions right now. There's nothing about Canada in the terms and competition or terms and conditions, so I'm assuming that it's open to everyone. So that's great.
Okay, well, that's good, yeah.
All right. Ready for some discussion topics?
I am ready for this one.
All right. So this one is from Parnassius, and it's something I think that a lot of us would definitely like talking about here on the show because when it comes down to it, this is something I think that's going to happen at some point. I don't know if it will be a whole new game or just a major rework.
Really?
But
you really think so?
Yeah, I definitely think we're going to see some major rebalancing to RuneScape in the future because if you think about it, Evolution of Combat was 2012. It's 2017 yeah. right now. And RS3 came out in 2013. And yeah. RuneScape 2 came out in 2004. So we're approaching that same eight kind of year limit, 2019-2020, of EOC and in general RS3. So we are potentially in line for another major rebalance. But I'll just get to the question here, or the discussion topic from Parnassius. He says, "Hey guys, it's Parnassius again. Since this is a patch week, I have a hypothetical discussion topic. It is August 2019 and Jagex have announced that they are releasing RuneScape Remastered, a rebuild of the game taking full advantage of the NXT engine, optimized for virtually every computer built in the past 8 years, including Mac. The world map size will be enlarged, creating real distance between cities again. All skills will have been reworked, and monster drops will no longer include primary drops from skills. Armor from bosses will be in pieces and will need to be worked by smiths for melee, crafters for ranged, and runecrafters for magic. Initially, barrows will be the highest level boss monsters for the first 6 months. Then every 4 to 6 months after, we will slowly see the release of the other bosses into game in order of difficulty and the tier of armor they drop. Quests will be released to schedule as well every 2 to 3 weeks. Oh, that would be fun.
What?
However, every RuneScape player will have to start from scratch again. My question to you is, would you sign up again and start from the very beginning? And two, what three things would you change from the current game in the remastered version? Taking out microtransaction is not an option. Personally, one change I would make is that all lodestones would have to be unlocked as you level up through the magic skill and would require an ongoing rune recharge fee. Love to hear your discussions on this. As always, may your games be plentiful and happy escaping from Parnassius." All right. So would you start fresh?
Wow, this is an awesome discussion. This is a great question. Would I? Hell yeah. I mean, we do it anyway. Like, how many of us have had Iron Man? How many of us tried OS? Or, you know, just, I mean, we do it all the time. We all have alts. I mean, some of us have two or three of them. I mean, yeah, I would totally start again. Would the community accept it? Probably not. there would be riots.
They accepted it with old school and Darkscape.
Well, yes, but there was a main game. Like, you know, like there was, it wasn't like completely taken away.
Right.
So, and I don't know.
You know, with this, I would assume that RS3 would be relegated to the status of RS Classic, probably.
Okay, maybe in that case.
In that it no longer will get updates, it'll be like an archived version of the game.
If that was the case, I think it would be a lot more doable. It would be right. A lot easier to get people on board with that, yeah. Doesn't that – he just described like the ultimate RuneScape experience, didn't he?
He really did.
He really did.
Though it would be very hard to get – this NXT client to work for every computer built between 2011 and 2019.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what they had tried to do all along, wasn't it?
Yeah,
I mean,
but technical issues aside, I think this is a great thing to talk about. So I would restart as well. I think it would be a very interesting thing to do because it would effectively be RuneScape the modern MMO, just like, I don't want to point fingers at World of Warcraft, but it would be like World of Warcraft in that it takes time to get to places and things would have true defined characteristics and things wouldn't be as loose as they are in the current version of RuneScape, specifically referring to what Parnassius said about the smiths making the melee armor, the runecrafters making the magic armors, and the crafters making the ranged armor. I think that's personally a great thing. You know, I would love to see something like this. And I think, you know, with any MMO, you definitely got to have a good cycle of renewal. And Jagex's renewal is different at each stage. First step of renewal was to create RS2, which was a completely new game engine. Following that, we had the RuneScape high detail, which was, of course, the 3D models and whatnot, textures and whatnot, driven by the Java client in 2008, which was the next huge step for RS. Following that was the evolution of combat, which we know how that turned out. And now RuneScape 3, with the new interface, and then finally the NXT game client. So JX has been progressing gradually ever since their major rewrite with RS2, which I think is a good testament to the way the engine in RuneScape works, is that they're able to granularly change things rather than starting over. So now, given the release cycle that we've had with this type of RuneScape, we need to assume that RuneScape Remastered would be that much more grand, because you wouldn't ask people to start over and you wouldn't ask people to start a new game unless it was truly grand like that. And based on some of the things Parnassius has said here, it would truly be that game. So that's would be the number one draw for getting people to join. Now, as for what would we like to do? What three things would we like to see in this RuneScape Remastered?
Do you have any ideas, Shane?
I do, actually.
Okay.
Number one, in addition to what Parnassius said, I would like there to be a final decision made on 120 skills. If we're going to take these skills to 120, let RuneScape Remastered be the place where further skills like that happen. So we can take Slayer there right now. But if we're going to take any other skills to 120, we might as well do it with this hypothetical new version of RuneScape Remastered. So take all the skills to 120 and add things into these skills to make them useful and viable to train past level 99. That's number one. Number two is the ability to have some form of prestige. And yeah, I'm going to be jumping on this again because I think it's something that players need in order to be able to play through the game effectively. Because if you hit level 120 and you really enjoy playing that skill, what sense of accomplishment do you have past level 120 aside from the 10 million XP markers every 10 million XP, right?
Well, more importantly, if you hit 200 mil,
what are you supposed to do?
Yeah, you're done.
So I think with RuneScape Remastered being a fresh start, they could also look at the way high scores tables go. And that's kind of a 2A bullet point with prestige right there. Rework the way the high scores tables work. Or maybe, even better, just get rid of the 200 million XP cap.
That would be great.
And have milestone markers for every 100 million or so.
Yeah.
And, you know, they could just keep adding perks whenever they need to. And it would be something they could do over time, providing an almost infinite amount of dev work that could go into a certain skill. So there's a way of fixing that without doing full prestige. Just remove the 200 million XP cap. And the third thing I would like to do, are you ready for this?
Okay.
This is going to be very controversial. And it's going to be very controversial to a lot of the podcast listeners here.
Oh.
So I played RS Classic. I also crafted runes before the Abyss. I would like skills, not necessarily all of them, to be slow again, like runecrafting, or the progression rate in RS Classic for, say, woodcutting. I heard that.
You lost me on that one, but I understand it.
I just feel like we can get so much XP so quick. 99s happen so quick. You create a new account, and within a month, you have a 99. And I mean, you can even AFK rune spam now. So, I mean, it just feels as though there was a certain aspect of prestige and achievement when you would get 99s in the past. Like, imagine someone getting an untrimmed 99 runecrafting cape.
Well, would you still want it to be slow if there was a prestige system? Or if the 200 mil cap was...
Well, that's the beauty of it. You likely wouldn't even need to worry about the 200 million cap that much if you made it slower.
Okay. Okay.
Because if there's enough value associated with something, people will do it. You just got to look to real life for this, right? Like, people do things in real life all the time that they don't like doing. And that's because there's a perceived value to it. So if you don't like doing something in RS, Well, I should rephrase that better. Rather than say don't like doing it, if it becomes tedious and time-consuming to do, well, maybe not tedious, but time-consuming to do, if it's time-consuming in real life, there are things we do like that for an ultimate benefit. Yes?
Yeah.
Okay. And if you can apply that to RS, but still make it engaging and fun along the way, there should be no reason why it's a problem, in my view.
Yeah. You make a fair point, a good argument.
Another example. Remember how long it took someone to get level 70 Slayer at the first Granite Malls?
Yeah.
It was 3 months. And then it was later that summer that someone got 85 with the Abyssal Whip. Remember how slow Slayer was back then?
It doesn't feel that much faster now.
Oh, okay, well, I mean, it seems faster.
Slayer's not one of your quicker skills.
but
yes, it was slower.
At the end of the day, people trained Slayer when it first came out because everyone was training combat. Everyone wanted to get that glorious 126 combat, and as a result of that, Slayer was just something we did along the side, and people had the first benefits there of getting the Abyssal Whips once reaching level 85. So that's the kind of gameplay I'm talking about, the kind of gameplay that takes time on the order of, you know, 6 to 8 months to get a 99 maybe, 8 months being on the high end, 6 months being on the mid to low end, and by providing benefits along the way. Because did anyone complain back in the day of RS2 when Slayer took that long to level up?
Probably not in that specific example. And the reason for that is, one, combat. A lot of people enjoy combat. But two, Slayer has always been a viable way to make money, and in a pretty good way to make money in this game.
And so is runecrafting. Before the bots came in and you had, say, 99 or 91 RC and you got doubles. So
yeah, I guess that's true, yeah.
And also, I would also like to point back to the early days of RS2 with woodcutting. Anyone who was higher than 75 woodcutting was able to go to 99 woodcutting using magic logs, even though it took a long time and they would leak a killing on the profit, because then each log sold for 1,200 to 1,300 GP, which was huge. So I guess what I'm saying is rather than having everything be so fast, let's have some of these skills in RuneScape Remastered have options to train them at a slower rate that can be very lucrative in terms of the profit that they bring in. And at the higher ends of these skills, mining, woodcutting, fishing, you would have these lucrative XP options that people would get for money coming in. And maybe this is just a need to rework what Parnassius says about primary drops being removed from PVM, and maybe just reworking some of the skills in the current game that we have. But I would definitely love to see the ability to have slow training at the high level that brings in lots of money.
Yeah, I can see many sides to this. Like there's something like I like the goals that you see. I can't agree with the means to get there, because I don't want things to be slow. I feel like that's maybe looking back a little too much. Because I don't think we're in the same place that we used to be. I don't think people enjoy the grind the same that they once did. You want to feel like you're going somewhere. And I know, like, when I first started, like, it just felt like you did things for days on end and you got nowhere. And yeah, the XP is faster now, but you feel like something's happening. I think to get to the prices to make skilling, because what you're talking about is making skilling important, making it valuable again.
I believe that's called making skilling great again, as we talked about last year.
I refuse to say that, but we'll. But what Parnassius is proposing, I think, reaches that, and I think it has the bonus of kind of like of keeping what I like intact, because what he's describing something that creates this perfect ecosystem between skilling and PVM, and taking away these, you know, monotonous drops and taking that out. So in one sense, like, something that makes RuneScape very different than other MMOs, and something I think that makes it special, is the skills. You know, other MMOs, they pay lip service to crafting or to smithing. It's not like RuneScape. It's not the same.
True.
And so that's what makes it really different. So I want an ability, like, if I want to just be going for XP and get, you know, and doing that, that's fine. Because not everybody is going to be doing it for money. Not everyone's going to be doing it for the material. Like, I want that option, because I don't want to just merely sit there and just and feel like I'm not going anywhere. You know, I don't think the market would be overran that way. I think it's like that mix of the XP rate is fine, just depending on, you know, what you're choosing to focus on, whether it's time, XP, or money, you know.
And I think having that choice would be great. And I mean, if they could balance it in such a way that there was that choice there, I would be happy with that. I mean, if I wanted to really go that slow, I could just go back and play RS Classic.
Well, there you go. Or, hey, maybe we could get a toggle.
Please.
Oh, yeah. Boy, what?
Wouldn't that be something? RuneScape Remastered. Make skill and
RuneScape
trade again.
Remastered would be unbelievable. I hope it wouldn't be out of style, you know, 2 or 3 years from now. Because, you know, the hotness right now is the reboots and the remasters. Will that still be, like, the thing in a couple of years? I don't know. We're usually 2 or 3 years behind everything else anyway, so that'd probably be about the time Jagex would say, you know what, let's do a remaster. Oh no, I know, let's do a MOBA. It would be something like that. But
yeah, I've already talked about the MOBA.
Yeah, you have. But if we're making things up and we're just dreaming here, let me dream big, and here we go, strap in. So the first thing that I would like to see, this is easy. We're going to start small. We're going to build our way up. So give me a healer class / ability to have that as a role.
Can we also make support a role as well?
Yes. Yes. Let's do that. Let's make combat more diversified, not just with its abilities, but with its roles, with the way that you like to fight. If we're gonna have group based stuff, can we not have a 4 DPS and 1 tank? What the hell's that? You know what I mean? It's like, give me more. I want a healer. I want a support. I want those types of things to make it more dynamic. Okay, so that way you could get in where you fit in. You know, I mean, maybe I couldn't keep up with the boss itself, but I could keep up with healing you.
I would be on board for that as well, because in most everything else that I've done in other games, I have played either healer or support.
And it would just – I don't know. I think it would add a lot to the game. But here's where we're going to get a little crazy. We're going to get a little crazy now. Do you remember like the model that Darkscape had where essentially – the game's free, like the content
right.
is free. Well, I would love to see us move to that. Not because I don't want to pay a subscription. I don't mind that. In fact, I will spend more money than what I spend on a subscription, either through however you want to structure it, microtransactions, cosmetics, whatever, different bonuses, what have you. I would be totally willing to probably spend more than what I spend now. But I think it would just bring more people in. I don't know. Something along the same lines as like what Terra does, or what, you know, Darkscape did.
So essentially make RuneScape a totally free play to game, but increase benefits such as maybe the XP, or maybe,
yes.
Remove microtransactions maybe for people who pay, but leave it as an option so it's not forced as much in your face.
Exactly. You know, more like a, I don't know what they call them, like
a freemium? Yeah, freemium.
Game. Okay. I would love to see that. Now, I don't know if it works. I'm not a financial guy. You know, I don't know. But we're just dreaming here. So finally, the last thing, and this probably not possible. I'll be the first to admit, but we're dreaming. So I want at least an option, maybe a toggle. No, but I want an option. I would love to get off of this stupid tick rate and give me some WASD controls to make it a true action when you're fighting. I want to move around without just straight point and click.
That, and you know, with RS Remastered, awesome. They could do that. They really they could do that. They and could. If you did that, you wouldn't need the MOBA either.
Exactly. And here's the kicker, though. Here's where we get into the realm of impossibility. But I'm going to say it anyway because I think it'd be cool. I want cross-platforms. I want cross-platform RuneScape. Could you imagine? Could you imagine all the new players you could possibly get? Like, I'm sure there are technical things that make that impossible, but...
Oh, it's technically possible. It's just a question if Microsoft will allow it.
It would be so cool. Could you imagine? Like, and if you had the WASD controls and all that, you could totally play with a controller.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, I think it would work for RuneScape. And, you know, Star Trek Online tried this last summer. They brought out the Xbox and PS4 versions of the game. But, you know, they're running on different servers. They are on different update cycles. And the accounts don't sync back and forth. So if you have an established account on PC, there's no reason to play it on the console. So I think the key for this to survive and do well would indeed be the cross-platform nature of it. Because if it's not going to be cross-platform, it would be too deserted, I think.
Yeah, and that, yeah, that would totally make sense. So there's my pie in the sky dreams with a modest dream of giving us a little bit more diversity in combat.
You know what someone should do? Someone should take all these items that we have put together, yours, mine, Tannis's, and anyone else who wants to chime in, and throw this into a 2,000-word design document and publish it.
That would be awesome.
And, you know, basically call it RuneScape 2020, not because we want to have 2020 vision on RuneScape, but obviously because that's what we think RuneScape should look like in 2020. And, you know, maybe if it got enough traction, Jagex would see some of these things and be inclined to act on them in RS3.
Could you imagine? We could put it, you know, you could put it up on this, the site that shall not be named, and with enough votes.
No, we've tried that before. We've tried that before. They just deleted things. So,
nope.
So we're done doing that.
Well, darn. Never mind.
Yeah, that time last summer, the post was completely within the rules. It was a complete discussion with a link to an official Jagex webpage, but deleted.
Wow. Okay. Well, never mind then.
Yeah, that really was the last straw right there for that. So, I love these ideas, and you know, I think it's definitely something we need to think about. And you know, with Jagex going to larger expansions this year, depending on how well they turn out, we'd have to see if they decide to go with this release cycle going forward. But I don't know. We'll have to see what the other expansions are. We haven't heard anything on that yet. And I think depending on how these three expansions go, we'll have the answer about whether or not we keep this tracker if we go back to weekly updates. And I'm holding my breath to wait and see about how this all turns out as well. So, fingers crossed in the meantime.
Yeah, and I'm hoping. You know, I'm hoping that it turns out really well because I think there's so much potential in the expansions. And I've always said I will wait. I would rather wait for something to be big and to be good. You know, that's what I feel like expansions gives us, that opportunity. So, fingers crossed.
Yeah, well, I mean, even like looking to what we still got this year, we still got the bank rework on the way. So that's going to be a very interesting thing to see how various aspects of the game can be performed. But thank you, Parnassius. Next one is from Wiley. Hey, guys, Wiley here. Do you guys have any ranks on the high scores tables that you're particularly proud of? And also, do you think we will ever see the introduction of Bactrian camels in RuneScape? I'm getting a sense of deja vu with this question right here. Maybe as a pack animal for Acthonikos in his adventures in the north. Thanks for the show. All right, let's start with our high scores lookups. How do you feel about your ranks?
I don't have anything that really like stands out to, you know, in like a high scores rank. I forget where I had made it up to. I think I had made it to like 6 or 7 on RSBNB. I was pretty stoked about. I don't know where I'm at now. I'm probably not up there anymore, but I don't have that many. Like, I don't even have like one bill XP yet. So I'm just not really even in the discussion, I guess, you know. So.
I used to be top 1,000 farming, but then I slowed down.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah, now I'm around 1,600. So, I mean, it's definitely something I could chase after, but I'm in the meantime just trying to figure out where the 200 mil people end. It's looking like right now there's, at least 625 people with 200 mil farming. So let's see.
Whoa. I can't believe that. That is crazy.
Yeah, well, it's not too bad of a skill to train once you get the knack of it. So, let's see. Rank 1,000 farming is 150 million XP, which is something I could probably do in a year.
Oh, yeah. But it would be look what you did for the 120.
Yeah. So I could definitely go for that if I wanted to. That could be a thing. I am also having a good rank right now with Herblore, rank 8,111 of those with 39 million XP. So, of course, those are my two top skills in game right now. So, those are my two high score claims to fame. You want to highlight any of yours on the official high scores?
I don't think I have. I know I don't have anything that's that great.
You have 4,500 cooking.
Okay, I guess that's something.
8,500 attack.
Yeah. So okay. Yeah,
so those are two things right there.
Yeah, I mean that's something. I'll take that. Thank you, Shane, because I wasn't sure where my rank was on those skills.
Yeah, and I mean at least it's in cooking, right?
Yeah, you know, I mean. Which is funny because I don't even have my 120 yet. So there you go. I'm going to get up there in prayer. I just added like 24 mil to prayer over the weekend. So,
ooh, expensive.
I know. But we're going to get there on that. And that one I will be proud of.
All right. Bactrian camels in RuneScape. What do you think of this idea?
Are these like the camels? I mean,
yeah, they're basically the camels with two humps on their back.
Okay, the two hump camels.
Yeah, pack animals.
I guess I could see them doing it, but I don't know what niche it would fill because. Pack animals are pretty filled out. I mean, all the way up to the mammoth, which was just a waste of space, if you ask me. I mean, they look cool, but they're too big and it added two spots. So I don't know what could the camel. And thematically, you couldn't do more than that because what? A camel's going to carry more than a mammoth?
That's right. No.
So, you know, I don't know. I think you could work them into some kind of like. Quest or lore or something, but I don't know if they would be.
I think quest would probably be the best place to put them. I don't think they would make sense for summoning either. So maybe there will be an Ekthonikos quest in the future and they could bring something like that in because I don't think there's a camel in RuneScape. And I think if there's one thing Jagex has proven over the years, it's that they can bring in any kind of animal or any kind of object into the game if they find a reason for it.
Yeah. Brassica.
Yeah, Brassica. Or the Chrome goggles or the Book of Faces for Facebook, those kind of things.
So, yeah.
They definitely could do that. And I think if this is something that Wiley here is definitely very concerned about, he should continue on and lobby Jagex for this.
Why not? You know?
I mean, write a quest proposal for this, and I think that would get a lot of attention. An Akthonikos quest, perhaps, or something along the lines of that. So
that'd be cool.
Yeah. I'm always up for new quests, and just like Parnassius said, there would be a new quest released every 2 to 3 weeks.
That would probably be a little too much for me.
Oh, no.
But,
oh, no.
I mean, if they could at least not give me an eye test in every quest, it would be cool. I would be a lot, you know, more comfortable with that.
Like, right.
Don't give me colored lights again, Jagex, please.
Like, or the tree quest in...
Oh, gosh.
Or the tree guy.
Yes.
Why didn't you say anything about accessibility?
You know, why didn't I? Why did I not? Okay, I would like to rephrase my previous answer. You know, for the most part, this is what I've always said. Jagex actually does do a pretty decent job when it all comes down to it. And it's not that I don't think they do things intentionally with that in mind a lot of times, but a lot of their ideas actually end up being good for accessibility. If I have one gripe about accessibility, it would be, please be more mindful of it in quest and voice more stuff. Give me more audio cues, make things voiced.
Yeah, and you know, there's actually a good Informer article this week from Colton.
Yes,
about
that was
this.
A really good article.
He basically went into how One Piercing Note, and the title of it is What Quests Might Have Been, and I think that's enough right there to tell you exactly where Colton is going on this and what the future of quests should look like in RuneScape if we had our true desires here. So.
You know, it's so funny because I actually just finished. I did One Piercing Note last night on the junior account, and so I was catching up reading today. I was reading I read Colton's article and I read your article, and I was like, this. I just got done with it. I'm like, yes, yes, preach on, brother. Like, yes, it's very good.
Yeah. So that's What Quest Might Have Been at informer.rsbme.com. But, you know, overall, I think going back to Wiley's question here, yeah, they could bring camels in. They should probably just do it through a quest, though.
Yeah.
All right. If you guys want to send questions or discussion topics in, you can post them at update.rsbme.com/ask. Or you can reach us on the phone at 571-57-BNB, which is 571-572-2632. You can send us text messages or voicemails there. And, of course, we also take direct messages on Twitter at RSBNB. All right, you ready for some tech news?
I am just about ready for some tech news.
Okay. So in response to some questions arising with cross-border travel, one of the large password manager vendors, 1Password, which provides a service for Mac, Windows, and mobile, is bringing out travel mode, which allows you to protect your data when crossing international borders. So the fear is that if you cross an international border, the border agents can compel you to provide passwords to your social media accounts, Twitter, Facebook, you name it, whatever. And if you don't want to provide that information when you unlock your phone, the idea is that this information shouldn't be there as well, because you are not, if you are an American citizen, at least the way I understand it, you don't need to worry about self-incrimination, right?
If you know your rights, technically.
And that's what it comes down to, because if they find it on your device, they can use it, but you cannot be compelled if you're an American to do that. Unfortunately, where the gray area arrives, and what I think the question should be asked for anyone who is looking at 1Password with travel mode, is that if you're a foreigner coming into the U.S. or any other country for that matter, are you legally required to give this data up? And if you don't have it on your device in a password manager, what can they do? Can they compel you to tell what a password is, even if you might not have that password? Or can they search you even when you say you don't have this? So, well, if you are an American, you do have some rights, but this still provides a gray area for those of us who aren't, which is something I would like to highlight with this, is that, yeah, even though they are providing travel mode here and they remove passwords for these devices, it still is a gray area if you are a foreigner coming into the U.S. or any other country for that matter. So, yeah, okay, well, it's nice that you can remove these passwords and completely hide them and make sure they're not on your devices at all. There is still the possibility that if there's evidence found that you do have one of these accounts, that they could provide a way of ensuring that you give them your password for this device. So while this might be a good idea if you're interested in traveling and you're an American, if you live outside of the U.S., your mileage might vary with this. And I don't know about you, but when it comes to traveling and if there's any data on my devices, I have nothing to hide, so I'm personally not concerned if anyone wants to have a quick look inside there. And that's my general sentiment with this.
Yeah, it's one of those things, though. It's like, even if you are an American citizen, they can still give you a bad day. I mean, ultimately, yeah, you don't have to incriminate yourself, but you can still be held for considerable amount of time and just ruin your day.
Yeah, and you know, that's something I also think, is that if you're not going to provide the information that they ask for, what does that say? The chances are most people have one of these accounts, right? And if they're not gonna provide that information, what does that say about them trying to maybe hide something, right? So I personally think if you have nothing to hide, it's better to just come clean with these kind of things rather than duck around with travel mode, for example. But it is an option, I guess, if people want to go that route.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I guess I take more of a privacy advocate position on that, because I feel like, I mean, yes, if you have nothing to hide, then you shouldn't have to worry about that. But at the same time, you know, maybe it's that American blood in me, but I get tired of Big Brother just wanting to know everything all the time. Like, it just, even though you're not doing anything, you're like, get off of me.
Like, I agree with that.
You know, you just get tired of it.
I agree with that. And, you know, some of the biggest culprits like that is Facebook and Google. And as I talked about a couple of weeks ago, Google is actually very transparent about what they have on you.
Yes. And whereas Facebook is not. Yeah.
So, you know, this is an option. And I'm pretty sure LastPass, which is the other big password manager, will have something like this coming out in the future that will enable you to perform something similar. And if you want to use that, then that can be up to you.
Yep.
All right. Tech news number two is the new Surface Pro, in quotation marks. That's what Microsoft is calling this device, the new Surface Pro. It's a brand new Surface Pro hybrid laptop tablet from Microsoft that has really become quite famous over the number of years for being an iPad, or what lots of Apple users would like their iPad to be. So this new Surface Pro has a 7th generation Intel KB Lake processor, which is the newest ones that Intel offers. It's also got a fanless design on the Core M3 and Core i5 models. And when you think about fans in computers, those are one of the last mechanical objects that exist, which means that's one of the last things that can physically go wrong with your PC. So it's really great that Microsoft has gone fanless on these two models of the new Surface Pro. Microsoft also states that the new Surface Pro will have a 50% battery life over the previous Surface Pro 4, which is absolutely astounding if you are going for something that runs for all day. And overall, the new Surface Pro looks very similar to its previous versions, And they did do a little bit of copying Apple with this release, and they are bringing out something called the Surface Pen, which is kind of like the Apple Pencil, a stylus that enables you to do pressure-sensitive work on the Surface Pro screen. So Microsoft is definitely positioning early to be involved in the back-to-school market this year. And this new Surface Pro is going to cost you $799 in the U.S.,
expensive tablet.
Well, see, that's the thing. You might say it's an expensive tablet, but it's also a laptop computer if you want it to.
Yeah. Well, I think they're doing a great job of positioning. I mean, I think it's going to get to the point where do you have a Surface Pro? Or do you have an iPad? They're going to run everyone out probably. Can I ask just like an obvious question?
Sure.
From a layman's point of view. How does it stay cool? I mean, I know that Intel's tend to run a little cooler, but I mean, how do they keep it cool if there's no fan?
Ultra low voltage and basically a design that prevents the need for air funneling. In that the entire base of the machine in effect becomes the heat sink, and that heat is dissipated through the outside shell of it.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Because, I mean, the keyboard vents the air, obviously, from the base. But when it comes to the actual tablet itself, it's so thin and it's so low voltage that it is going to be able to just use the outer shell as kind of a heat sink to channel that heat away from the components. So, and that's what the Microsoft Surface has always been known for. So.
Well, that's really cool.
Yeah, and I mean, for anyone who is not familiar with the Surface line, the core selling point of it is that it can be a tablet, and then it can be a laptop if you need it to be. So it's an interesting device, and Microsoft has kept it alive for a long time. So I think it first came around in 2013 or something like that, so it's been around for a while, and this is going to be launching on June 15th.
Very cool.
So if anyone needs a new laptop for the coming year, this might be something to look at. All right. And we do have a piece of gaming news. Xbox and Microsoft are releasing something called the Xbox Game Pass, which allows you to play over 100 games for $11.99 a month. You can cancel at any time. If you have an Xbox Live Gold membership, you can get a 14-day free trial, and you are able to download and play any of the games that are in this library. And it is of note, of course, that you do need an Xbox One for this. So there is a huge collection of games, some older and some newer. On the older side of it, Borderlands, BioShock, the entire Gears of War series, Gears of War 1, 2, 3, and Gears of War Judgment. So that's there. Let's see. What are some of the other ones? Operation Flashpoint, Dragon Rising, Payday 2. I don't know if you have experience with that one. Saints Row 4. I know lots of people like Saints Row 4.
Yes.
Let's see. The Golf Club. So a golf game, I guess, if that would be your thing. So, you know, this is in essence a selection of older games that you might want to play at some point. You're not going to, of course, get the hit games in here from EA or Microsoft's own Forza games, for example, because those are too new. Most of these look like Xbox 360 games. Halo 5 Guardians, Halo Spartan Assault, Grid 2. Those are some other examples of games that are here. And I think this is an interesting thing for Microsoft to do, because a while back we talked about, I think it was NVIDIA's streaming option where you can subscribe and you can play any game over the internet, right?
Well, when we talked about NVIDIA, and we've also talked about PlayStation Now, which
PlayStation Now.
I am a user of.
Okay.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is very different, though, than those two services, because this isn't an actual streaming service.
Right.
You download these games.
Yeah, they're basically game rentals.
Yeah, and this is more. I thought it was going to be a streaming service when this was first announced. But this is actually going after, I mean, this is stabbing GameSpot or GameStop in the heart a lot more than it is a threat.
Because the games are also going to change monthly here as well.
Monthly, and what are the games that you're most likely to buy used? They're going to be the last generation or older games of this generation. That's exactly what you have here, which I think is cool because I'm, you know, I love like games from all eras. So, I mean, I think that's cool. But yeah, it changes month to month, and it's a smaller library, but it's also a smaller price. It has the advantage of being able to play offline, though. And that's, I think, what kind of sets this apart. You're not dependent on your internet connection. So that is kind of cool. You know, that's...
Well, you do need to kind of download it, but I guess you could leave it
overnight. Well, yeah. Well, exactly. I mean, but for the streaming, for the game streaming, you need to have, you know, decent internet. This, you know, you wouldn't necessarily have to do that. I mean, it's a very apples oranges kind of thing. I really thought it was going to be a competitor, but it's really unique and its own kind of thing.
Yeah. Do you remember Blockbuster video game rentals?
Oh yeah.
that's effectively what this is.
Yeah.
I don't know how much those were. How much were those rentals back in the day?
Oh gosh. Okay. So. I used to babysit my brother and get like $10 a week, right?
Right.
Way back in the day. And so every Friday we would go and rent like a couple movies for the family, and I would always spend some of my money renting games, and I think I rented them for like $3 a piece. I'd get them the whole weekend.
Oh, wow. I remember before Blockbuster went away, it was $7.99 for a game rental.
Well, this was probably a few years before that, Shane. But yeah.
Well, I mean, when you think about it then, if you can get that same kind of value of effectively, what, $3 a weekend then, as you did back then for $12 a month, which is effectively the same price. If you can get that kind of value out of it, if someone has young ones and they want a game that they can play, this is going to be a good option for them, because a lot of these games are games that are not necessarily the ones that are rated M. For example, like they have the Banjo-Kazooie games, and they also have the game that Sirion recommended as his last pick of the week, Brothers: A Tale of Two Sons, on here.
Yeah.
Comic Jumper. Farming Simulator 15. So it's not, you know, all Gears of War. It's games that kids can play. So maybe this would be a good option for people who are looking for game rentals for their kids.
Yeah, I think it's cool. I don't have anything really, you know, bad to say about it. It's got a good price point. The selection seems okay.
Yeah, we'll have to see what it does in the coming months.
Yes, I'm spoiled. I'm spoiled by the PS Now stuff, and it's, you know, that is a library. That's an extensive library, way bigger than this.
Yeah,
but it's also a lot more expensive. So, you know, it's I don't know. I think they're on the right track, and I would not be surprised if you see maybe a little bit newer, not your brand new games, but at least a few more current generation games come out for this.
Yeah, it's also launching in 30 markets to begin with, of course, including Australia, Canada, the US, the UK, New Zealand, Netherlands, Mexico. So it is a wide launch, and that's something, of course, that Microsoft is able to do. So that's a differentiating factor right there as well.
Yeah, that definitely helps.
All right, so that's Xbox Game Pass for Xbox Live members, and you can get a 14-day free trial of it if you have Xbox Live, so there's no reason not to give it a try if you have it, if there's a game on there you want to play. All right. Well, moving on to other things. We do have a wall of achievements, but first, before we do that, we'll talk a bit about Skill of the Month, where Touchpad Pro is continuing, except for a little bit of a break during Double XP weekend, having gained 112,607,248 cooking experience thus far. Parnassius has gained just over 10 million. Flash has gained 5.9 million. Whitey has gained 2.7, and Iron Ass, Parnassius Iron Man, has gained 1.3 million.
That's awesome.
It indeed is. All right. Wow. So, what's coming in June?
Menopause.
And 120 Slayer.
And 120 Slayer.
To celebrate that, we're doing a Slayer Skill of the Month for the month of June. So if you want to sign up for this, just head on over to rsbnb.com/skotm. You just enter your RuneScape username there and you're signed up. If you can't sign up, that's because you need an RSBNB form account. Just head over to rsbnb.com/forms. The instructions are on the page about where to sign up and how to get your form account if you don't have one. So if you want to compete in the Skill of the Month, create an RSBNB form account, and we look forward to seeing how many people are going to be testing out the new Metaphos Slayer action when it arrives in a couple weeks' time.
Oh, yeah. You will see me there.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be very interesting to see what the community looks like when everyone is focused on training Slayer once again, because that hasn't happened in quite some time.
Well, it happened last weekend, and it was just exactly what I predicted.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that in just a bit. But rsbnb.com/skotm, sign up for our Slayer Skill of the Month for the month of June. Okay, so as I mentioned, we have a wall of achievements this week because it was Double XP weekend. Way too many to count. So what I am going to do is I am just going to go through the 120s that we had this week, and the full collection of achievements will be in the show notes at update.rsbnb.com. So starting on May 22nd, Wolfie got 120 Dungeoneering. Derpenau got 120 Thieving on the 21st. Continuing on the 21st, we have AFK Seb with 120 Invention, Poison Nova with 120 Invention, Chapu with 120 Invention, noticing a pattern here. Moving on to the 19th of May, we have Garden Chick with 120 Fletching, and that's it for our 120s on this Double XP weekend, but definitely a lot of achievements here on this Double XP weekend. So good job on everyone who took part in Double XP weekend. I see lots of RSBNB and lots of Clan Quest names here.
Yes, that's everybody did such a great job. I mean, there's just – I've never seen this many achievements before, so that's just good on everybody. Hope everyone enjoyed themselves.
And quite frankly, we would have been there reading for a long, long time.
Oh yes. Yes, it's very extensive. Everyone did a really awesome job. It looks like probably had a lot of fun this weekend. I know I did.
Excellent. Well, before we talk about that, pick of the week time, and I'm here with a pick of the week this week. And you guys might remember last summer I talked about a new social media kind of website called Gab at gab.ai. Now, Gab initially was a beta-only product, and you had to have been invited to it in order to take part. But just recently this month, Gab has opened up to the public, and anyone can make an account and speak freely as their motto. And this is the point in time in which I would like to talk about what exactly Gab is and what Gab is not. So at first glance, Gab looks a lot like a Twitter replacement. They have a box to share what's going on. You can share posts, share links, share photos, you name it. Except rather than the 140 character limit, they have a 300 character limit. So you are able to express yourselves a bit more thoroughly than you can on Twitter. There's also trending categories based on things that are being talked about on the site and in the news. And then, of course, there are also category tags for various areas where you might want to post, such as news, politics, technology, entertainment, science, humor, faith, music, you name it. There's lots of categories on Gab where you can talk about that. So it's sounding a lot like Twitter so far, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now here's where it differs. Gab in itself is a product that is built around the idea of free speech. And if you are a believer in pure free speech, you will like Gab. Gab effectively feels that rather than the company who runs Gab being the ones to determine what goes and what doesn't go on the site, the users should go. I think that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
The users should decide. So what they have done for this to, rather than, you know, censor topics that people might not like or prevent people from seeing things that they might not like and do it on a site-wide basis, what Gab does is Gab effectively allows you to self-censor the website. So what this means is if there is a certain topic or a certain word that you don't want to hear anything about, like if you didn't want to hear anything about Apple, for example, you could go into the Gab settings and you could make it so that you don't see any posts with the word Apple. Or if there's a trending hashtag that you don't like, you can mute that hashtag. You won't see anything about it on the website. And it goes further to users as well. If someone has followed you and you don't like what they are posting and you don't want them seeing your content, you can make that user unfollow you. You can also ban them, and they will not be able to contact you in any way. They will disappear from the website for you. So compare this to Twitter, where on the other hand, you can mute people, but they can keep creating millions of accounts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happens on Gab, if that's the case, is you just press the report button and add that person to your list, and they're gone. So you have effectively banned them from the website. And this is what Gab prides itself on, is the fact that nothing is off limits, but if you want to have, in effect, a walled garden where certain words, certain hashtags, and certain users can't contact you, you can do that with Gab. It basically puts the onus on you to decide what is acceptable and what is not. Gab's only rule is, of course, that you can't share or discuss things that are illegal. So you can't, of course, discuss acts of violence, you can't incite violence, you can't share pornography and whatnot going forward. So, in effect, Gab follows those rules, but at the end of the day, it's up to you what you see. And they're actually taking it one step further in that they want to become a publishing platform in kind of the same way that Twitch.tv is for gaming, except Gab would be the publishing platform for anyone who effectively wants to stream things on the internet without necessarily, you know, being forced onto YouTube or being forced onto Twitch for gaming. So Gab has a robust feature set, and that's exactly what they were waiting for to launch. You have any questions so far?
You know, that's actually, that streaming stuff is
right.
Interesting.
So
that's
if you wanted to, you know, run a nightly news show, you could do that on Gab. If you wanted to get the gaming section going, you could stream RuneScape on Gab.
But that's so important right now because YouTube has such a lockdown on
stuff.
I mean, people are moving to Twitch a little bit, but that is only because of the ad apocalypse that people were experiencing over YouTube.
Yep.
So I am all for competition, and that's a really good thing. I think this actually, this is great in some ways. I wonder if it eventually, I think it's great that you can self-censor whatever you want. Like, I think that's good. I would rather have it that way. You know, that's more of a marketplace of ideas type of thing where you're in control of that. I'd much rather that be you in control than having, you know, some gigantic corporation in control of what is appropriate and what isn't appropriate kind of thing. But I wonder if maybe people shouldn't do that because – that only enhances and makes you more withdrawn in your
right.
bubble.
And see, that's the beauty of Gab, is that their idea is to share freely and speak freely. But if you want to control what you see and you want to be in more of a bubble, you can still do that.
Yeah, I mean,
so it's a choice.
I mean, that's cool. Yeah, and that's cool.
Like, I agree with you that, you know, you shouldn't try and do that, and you should try and work through things. But at the end of the day, if you need to censor a tag or a topic, you can do that. Another great thing.
There are things you just don't want to hear it.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Yeah.
You know, another great thing that Gab does that Twitter doesn't do and Facebook doesn't do. Facebook doesn't do this at all. Gab has no ads and they don't track you for data. Gab makes money by having a paid version that you can get for $9.99 a month if you want to support the company and you like what they're doing. And if you do that, you are going to be able to get access to more of the streaming services and whatnot. And they call this feature Gab Pro. So the idea behind this is that Gab will make money based on their subscribers, the people who want to contribute to the community. And if you create content on Gab, the plan is eventually to be able to pay the people who are creating content through this revenue flow. So rather than selling information, it's going to be a strict flow of currency from the consumer to Gab and then back to the content creators eventually. That's not in place yet, but that's the direction that they want to go.
I'm loving this.
That sounds cool. Like, that completely kills the idea of Facebook having all the information on someone, right?
Yeah. Yes. There's too much of
that. The product. Same with Twitter.
Yes.
And I think one final thing I'll say is that if you look up any mainstream news article on Gab, you'll see that it has been flagged as a website and social media product for the quote alt-right. But the reality is that there's a good diversity of people on Gab. It's just that I think when these articles were written, they were wanting to see the alt-right on Gab and use that as kind of a slanderous message. But the reality is you can find almost anyone you want to find on Gab, whether it be the alt-right or the alt-left.
I'm sure it probably came from their competitors.
Right? The competitors in the mainstream ad business who are concerned about Gab.
So. Yeah. I mean, because that's everywhere. I mean, you know what I mean? You can't go somewhere and not run into some kind of opinion that you don't like. I mean, that's I'm sorry. That is life.
I could continue on about Gab, but I think that's enough to get everyone interested and hopefully sufficiently involved in the site. You can find it at gab.ai and sign up is free. And it will always be free, they say. And you only need to pay if you want the extras feature set. So gab.ai, open to the public now.
And get in on the get in as it's starting, you know?
Yeah. Cool. I think I was user number 69 or something like that. So I was in there really early.
I would frame that if I had become user number 69. Screenshot in a frame.
It's fairly early on, too. So, I mean, I think it was on the first day it opened up. So
very cool.
Also of note, the interaction on Gab is so much more genuine than it is on Twitter. So there's that as well.
Well, everyone's trying to make a name for themselves.
Yeah.
You know, Twitter. Yeah.
All right. How did your double XP weekend go?
Amazing. I had a great time. It was just a really good time. So I did a lot of streaming and I did a lot of a lot of prayer on my main, and picked up about 23, 24 mil, in prayer, which isn't the crazy herb lore and summoning numbers that people were getting, but I feel it's pretty respectable for prayer, you know?
Now the question is, how much did you spend on that?
I didn't count. Because I don't want to. I know that I had 1,009 cleansing crystals. So you could do the math on that. And I almost got through them all, but I have about 130 left.
Wow.
I just couldn't. I tried. Meanwhile, I had Junior, which is the second account. I had him going up through all of the Prif skills and just different stuff like that. So I was able to get like 75 construction, smithing, crafting, herb lore. There's a few more that I did just because I had extra time. Oh yeah, some thieving and some agility even. So
very
he had
nice.
A really good weekend. How did yours go, Shane?
Well, I didn't do too much, as I was alluding to earlier when we were talking about the double XP or the double XP stars. And, you know, it was a combination of the fact that I was just doing other things at the time. And, you know, I don't know. I just did what I had available to me. I didn't go outright and end up purchasing too much. So I took it relatively easy, but I did more, I think, than the last double XP weekend, so that was great. Let me just get you an exact number here on how much I did, because I can pull that up quickly. But basically what I did is I ended up going from level 70 to level 75 invention. Yeah, that's still pretty low.
Not bad.
Yeah. I also did some herb lore as well. Oh, apparently that's I got the wrong date in there. That's why that herb lore XP isn't showing. So 70 to 75 invention, which is a lot of XP, and I got about 1.3 million herb lore XP just based on what I had available to me, which ended up being about level 110 herb lore.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
So that's getting up there, and it's kind of getting into the groove now. Where you're doing something and you're doing it regularly, that you can see the progress being made and you want to continue with it. So I'm very happy with that. Of course, farming-wise, I didn't do farming again this double XP weekend, which I should do next time. But hey, I mean, I have 120. I don't think I need to. So, but overall, I'm very pleased with what I did, because all of the crystal flasks that I ended up using on double XP weekend were crystal flasks that I had made myself over the intervening period between double XP weekends. So I didn't need to purchase those, so I actually made a profit on the potions that I made, believe it or not.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yeah, so, I mean, you got to be happy about making money with herb lore, right?
Yeah, that doesn't usually happen.
So I just made the super prayer renewal potions, because those are one of the few combination potions that you can easily sell on the exchange, and you can make 9 at a time, because you basically have 7 vials, 7 prayer renewals, and 7 prayer potions. And I believe, let me just crunch some quick numbers as to how much that is per inventory. Under double XP weekend, that's about 4,000 XP per inventory.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And with auto, or rather the make X system and keybinds, you can just do it really quickly. And basically what I did is I set up my mouse, because my mouse has side buttons on it. I set up my mouse to activate my bank preset. So I just click on the bank, tap my preset, and click on the potion, press spacebar, and away we go.
Very nice.
So,
very nice.
It's low intensive gameplay, and my invention XP came from 1 siphon off the hatchet, 1 deconstruction of a crystal rod, which I leveled in the arc, and 700 protein cogs.
Oh, cool.
So
yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, and you know, that's something I tend to do, is I, unless a double XP weekend has just happened, I tend to save my protein items for double XP weekend.
You know, I used to do that, and then over the last year I'd gotten really into, you know, doing clan competitions, and so I would pull out all the stops if I needed to. But I'm going back to saving those myself for double XP. They're just more beneficial.
All right. I don't believe there's anything else that I did on double XP weekend that we need to talk about on the podcast. Anything else you want to mention?
No, I'm just, you know, I just want to say again, you know, great job, everybody, on, you know, all of your accomplishments and all your achievements. And I can't wait till the next one. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, maybe it'll come the weekend before RuneFest. That'd be interesting.
That would be interesting. Oh, gosh. Could you imagine? Everyone would just be dead.
Just yep, like, that's what happened last year.
Yep.
Alrighty. Well, I believe that's it for this episode of RSVNB Update. You can find Colton's article on what Quest should be going forward and what he'd like Quest to be in my Informer article about fixing TV. Kind of alluded to it last month about what was going to be happening. Both of those are at informer.rsbnb.com. And you can find us and full show notes at update.rsbnb.com. And with that being said, we will see you next week, and thank you for sharing your time with us.
Bye.